Morning, everybody. Okay, I know I do this every time, but you guys are terrible every time. We're going to try that one more time. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Okay, and happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there. I'm going to get us started just by having a little bit of a conversation. So I'd love for you to turn to the person next to you. If you've got kids, I would love for you to talk about this to your kid. But I'm going to ask you one question quickly. What is one thing that you have learned during this week? Okay, what is one thing? Something completely random. What is one thing that you have learned during this week? Okay, great. Thank you for doing that. Any of you kids, did anyone learn anything really, really interesting this week that they would like to share with us?
I learned that in French schools, children stay until 5 o'clock in the evening and sometimes later until their parents pick them up.
Whoa. I learned how to score 3 hat tricks and 1 assist.
Whoa, well done.
To make cupcakes.
Make cupcakes. Great. Anyone else? There's one over here.
Pancakes.
Pancakes. I hope you learned how to make pancakes. Okay, one over there. I hope you made your dad some pancakes for Father's Day. That would be great.
Play drums.
Amazing. Okay, something that I learned this week. So you know that emoji that goes like that? Okay, that's not actually a praying emoji, it's a high five emoji. So every time that we're like, somebody shares, I'm feeling really ill, and you send that back to them, you're high fiving them. Something really funny that I learned this week. Cool. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to take just a little bit of a quiet reflection time, just really quickly. I know we did this over Easter, but I ask that you guys just close your eyes really, really quickly. Just bring it down really, really quiet. And I'm just going to ask you guys, just quiet your mind. When I say the word God, Father God, what are the images that come to mind? How do you picture it? Is it some old guy with a really long beard? Are they good images? Are they bad images? Are they difficult images? Are they painful images? And now when I say Father, what comes to mind? Okay, you can open your eyes. Thank you for doing that. We're celebrating Father's Day today, and I've been given a really difficult topic to talk about. Okay, we're going to be speaking about redeeming discipline. Okay, yay! which is actually an incredible topic to talk about. It's an incredible nature of God that we see as fathers and as parents. But it is a bit of a difficult one to speak about. And just starting off, I'm going to ask the Connect team to go around. Any young person, like kid or young person, put up your hand. We've got something for you really, really quickly. Okay, so we've got some little balls of Play-Doh. Okay, I would love to see who can come up with the coolest design with their Play-Doh. Okay, at the moment, it's just a little ball. I would love for you to kind of like mold it and make it into something really, really pretty. And yeah, we'll have a look at them afterwards. So those are going around. Just keep your hands up. Yay. You're really excited. Mike, you're really excited. Okay, so we're going to be going into the Word now. Please keep your hands up, young people. Those will go around and for a little bit. And just, you've got the entire service to make something really, really cool. Maybe try and base it around what we're speaking about. If not, you can just make something amazing. Please don't throw it all over the carpet. Okay, people won't be very happy with that, with cleaning it up. So today's passage of scripture, we've already kind of gone into. It's that proverb. Can anyone remember the reference? Proverbs?
3:11-12.
Well done, okay, because I forgot that. So great that you guys remembered it. But something about that passage of scripture is that it's repeated elsewhere. Does anyone know where it's repeated? It's somewhere in the New Testament. Paul uses, or whoever wrote Hebrews uses it. I am sorry. Okay. So we find it in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 7. And it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone who accepts he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their fathers?" Okay, and this is written by whoever wrote Hebrews. We don't know who wrote it. There's a lot of theories out there. But this was written to a congregation of people who were struggling. There was a lot of situations in the world that were really testing their faith. And instead of, so Paul writes it in that context, and he says that, let's have a look at it one more time. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" And discipline is one of those difficult ones that within today's kind of like context, disciplines, it brings up images of punishment, yeah? It brings up, I don't know, I grew up in South Africa, so for me, it brings up an image of a wooden spoon. I know that's completely illegal here, but it was a really big commonplace where I grew up. For some people, it might bring up images of like a timeout corner, or like, if you're an introvert, like a timeout corner is amazing. If you're an extrovert, that's hell. Okay, I don't know what it brings up for you guys. But what's coming across in this passage of scripture isn't punishment. What Paul is saying is, have a look at your situation. Have a look at the struggles that you are going through. God hasn't caused this, but God wants to use this to mold you and create you into the man and woman that he created you to be. Okay, I'm really excited to share this sermon. I don't know if you guys know, I'm a dad. Yes, I had a little baby girl. There she is, Myla Grace Landry. She was born 2.5 weeks ago. Okay, that's why I'm kind of stumbling over my words. I haven't slept a lot in the past 3 weeks. But when I look at my daughter, I'm sorry, I'm going to start crying. When I was in the hospital and I held my daughter for the first time, I did not know what love was until I held her. I looked into this little, cute little, I think she's absolutely gorgeous, but every parent does. I looked into this gorgeous little child's face, and in that moment, I knew that my life's goal, why I was here on this earth, was to make sure that this little bundle of joy was loved, was safe, and that she knew God by the way that I treated her. It gave me purpose, it gave me life. I did not know how to love until I held her in my arms. And something that's amazing about that imagery is that me, as an absolutely broken, selfish, self-indulgent person, can look at an individual who's done absolutely nothing to earn that love, but I feel this unconditional, overwhelming love for her. Actually, she's done everything to not earn that love. The amount of times that I've been pooed and weed on in the past 3 weeks, she's screamed in my ears. She's stopped me from sleeping. My Father's Day present was a nappy full, okay, leaking on the sides, and like a scream awake at 4 o'clock this morning because she had got a fright and got out of her swaddle and hit herself in the face, okay. She hasn't earned my love at all, but I love her absolutely. And when we have a look at this passage of scripture where it says that God, as his children, wants to discipline us, the foundation of that is that love that I've spoken about. If me as a broken individual can love someone like that, imagine how much God in his perfection loves each and every single one of us as his children. And that's how he views us. That's how he views each and every single one of us. So when Paul's writing this passage and saying, do not run away from the discipline of God, what does that look like? How does God discipline us? And the foundation of that is that God loves us unconditionally. Something when I look at her as well, something that's come into my mind a lot over this little while is that for at least the next 13 years, Megan and I are going to be the most influential people in her life. That we are going to be a huge part of molding and shaping her, like teaching her what's right, teaching her what's wrong, and teaching her who God is by the things that we say and the things that we don't say. That's a huge responsibility. That's a massive responsibility to have that placed upon you. But that's exactly what's coming across in this passage of Scripture. I don't want her to be, even though she's gorgeous and she's really cute, especially when you get those cuddles, I don't want her when she's 16 years old for me to be changing her nappies and for me to kind of like Megan to follow her to school so she can feed her during secondary school. Okay, I want her to change. I want her to grow. I want her character to change. I want her to develop. I want her to start taking responsibility. I want her to grow. Okay, I want her to rely less on me and rely more on herself and more on God. Okay, so when we're looking at the discipline of God, that's exactly what's coming across here, is that God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to grow. He wants you to develop. He wants you to become adults and step out in your faith and be molded into the men and women that he created you to be. So when we look at the discipline of God, it's not God punishing you. It's God molding you. So as these little kids are taking this little bit of Play-Doh and they're busy kind of like squishing it and making something beautiful, hopefully, okay, or not so beautiful, but they're molding it. And that's exactly what God does to us. So how does God discipline us? One, using situations and trials to mold us. That's exactly what whoever wrote Hebrews, I actually think it's Apollos, but whatever. He's writing into a situation where people are going through really, really tough times. And where we've misinterpreted this is that God causes tough times for us to be molded. No. Okay? God uses tough situations as a result of a broken world so that we could be molded. He gives us a countercultural thing. Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, instead of feeling down on ourselves, his Holy Spirit, his comforter, whispers in our ears and says, you are stronger, you are bigger than this because I am next to you, I'm guiding you through this. And it's a life lesson. It's something that develops us. It's something that grows us. Okay, so God uses situations and trials to mold us. Okay, he doesn't cause that. He's not punishing you, but he's training you. Something amazing that comes through in Pauline theology is that he shifts this idea of suffering from being a result of sin into being a reality of a broken world, and he uses language such as training in righteousness. That we go through rough times so that we could be trained, so that our faith could be tested, and so that we could be grown into Jesus' representatives. The second way that God disciplines us is the gentle voice of conviction. As a charismatic church, we believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in our lives, and a big part of that's conviction. It's like if you watch kind of like somebody. I won't use rugby as an example. I was a rugby coach because that's not so gentle when you're trying to teach people to do something. But if you watch a teacher teaching somebody just something simple as, well, not simple, but playing the violin, there's a lot of gentle correction from posture to the finger placements to the bow stroke. It's not like shouting at them and being, you're stupid. It's like really, really gentle. And that's exactly what God does to us. Is that as we grow and as we learn more about him, his Spirit speaks into our lives and speaks into situations and says, Kat, maybe you shouldn't be doing that right now. Or Michael, is that the best thing in the world to do? And that's a way of him molding us. That's a way of shaping us. We've got the big pressure situations making those hands and those feet, but then we've got those delicate little things making the little eyes and making the little smile and that kind of stuff. And that's the gentle voice of conviction. So what does that mean for us as fathers? It means that we are called to discipline our children. Okay, because this is a characteristic of God. It's the nature of God and he's entrusted us to. Okay, it's not just fathers in today's society who are responsible for discipline. This is written to fathers because within both the Judaic and the Roman culture, fathers were responsible for the discipline of their household. We've moved beyond that. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so what it's saying is as parents, a big part of our responsibility is the correction, the teaching, and the training of our young people for righteousness. And it's something that's been brought upon us. It's something that's been given to us. So what is the foundation of this discipline? Love. When we discipline our kids, even though there's been times I can't discipline my little one at the moment. She is tiny. She doesn't understand what's going on. But there's times where I'm getting kicked and I'm getting like scratched and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, all I'm trying to do is change your clothes because you've pooed all over yourself. Like, this is your fault. This has nothing to do with me. Like, there's times where I get genuinely upset. And I'm like, just like, calm down. Okay? It's not out of that that we're called to discipline. It's out of this overwhelming love. Okay? We don't discipline out of selfish ambition. We don't discipline out of anger. We don't discipline out of pride. We discipline because we love those individuals and we want to see them grow into the men and women that God created them to be. What does this mean for us as individuals, not just as fathers? What in your life is God trying to mold at this point in time and you not allowing him to do it? What situation are you allowing to define the way that you view God as opposed to viewing it as training? What voice of conviction in your ear that God is saying, stop doing that, not because he's angry at you, not because he's this judgmental older person, but because he loves you and he wants you to be the best version of yourself. What is God trying to do in your life at this point in time that you're running away from? And lastly, as parents, huge challenge. Who are you molding your person into? Are you molding your person into your own image? Those things that you could never accomplish, those ambitions that just fell short, those things you always wanted to do, but you're maybe too busy to do it. Are you molding your young person into your own image, or are you molding them into the image of God? Because we're called to be God's hands and feet in the life of our young person, molding them, correcting them, training them, so that they can know God and that they can be the best possible version of themselves, the person that God created them to be. Okay, that's all I've got to say. We're going to have some prayer a little bit later, but I would love if we could stand up, not just as fathers, but as parents, as people who are influential in the lives of people, and make that commitment that we want to stand and we want to mold a generation that knows God and they're shaped by God. I also want to challenge you, if you've got things that God's saying to you that you need to change, that he wants to work in your life and you're running away from it, let's spend some time praying over that and let's surrender that to God. Amen.